Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Always happy to have my friend Congressman Thomas Massie, Kentucky's 4th District, on the program. Now that the Republicans are in control in Congress, if you want to call it that, Massie has been put on several very important committees: the House Rules Committee, House Transportation Infrastructure, and the House Judiciary. So, welcome back, sir, and it's good to see you actually in some spots where you can call some shots a little bit.
Yeah, thanks. I'm on a fourth committee too, the Weaponization of Federal Government Committee. That's going to be an interesting one. And by the way, the Rules Committee hasn't been an important committee for 60 years, for six decades. It's not mattered because it's been under complete control of the Speaker of the House.
Right.
And so the reason it's so consequential and why the Speaker seeks to maintain complete control over it is every bill that comes to the floor goes through the Rules Committee first. Mm. And the Rules Committee decides how long our colleagues will have to read a bill. The right. Rules Committee decides if somebody gets to offer an amendment on the floor. The Rules Committee is there to either enforce or suspend the rules. And for the most part, they've been suspending the rules. Mm-hmm. So, and my presence on the Rules Committee alone wouldn't be consequential if not for Chip Roy being on that committee and also Ralph Norman. So just to explain the math, the majority has 9 seats and the minority has 4 seats. This is the smallest committee in Congress. It's the oldest committee in Congress. And if 3 of us withhold our votes from the majority, they go from 9 to 6 votes and the noes go from 4 to 7.
Hmm.
And so we could, if they try to do something, if our own party tries to do something nefarious, we can hold them accountable there in that committee.
Wait, the Republicans would never do anything nefarious. They're going to save the world.
Hey, so far, it's like, these are not my words. This is a friend of mine who lived in L.A. He said after a freeway shooting, everybody was so polite on the roads for about 6 months. And it's the same sort of situation with the GOP in Congress.
Right.
No, you go. Oh, no, I wasn't going to eat that sandwich. You look hungry. Here, have my lunch.
Wow. That's insane, man. I love it. And there's been you've actually been frustrated about the rules because you've had a lot of common sense types of amendments and bills that you'd like to at least get discussed and open and have on the record, and they couldn't even get there because the Rules Committee snubbed you. So it's almost ironic and hilarious that you end up on that committee and now with a group of people that could potentially cause enough trouble to keep it in check. But I want to go back to what you initially said, too, the Weaponization of Government Committee. What's fascinating to me is that committee needs to exist. I posted a tweet the other day about, you know, I listed them all as like ATF, DOJ, IRS, you know, all the different. And the obvious answer to what they all have in common is that they are all weaponized against the American people in some form or fashion. Right. The DOJ has come after parents. The ATF is coming after gun owners and writing law without law behind it. The IRS is coming after taxpayers. They're coming after the gig economy. They're coming after middle class people. I mean, they've all been weaponized to silence free speech, to harass and harangue law-abiding citizens, and to otherwise make criminals out of law-abiding people.
Yeah, I call them pet snakes because the GOP tends to feed them and provide them with care and housing when we're in the majority. And then when we go in the minority, we wonder why they're biting us. Well, why are we sustaining them and, in fact, expanding them? So, you know, that's a problem. And by the way, you know, you saw at Twitter, 95%+ of political donations from people at Twitter went to Democrats, not Republicans. And you see what kind of bias evolved in that private organization. But you have the exact same political makeup inside of the FBI, the ATF, and other organizations. You cannot pretend that they are going to be unbiased politically and ideologically while 90%+ of them are Democrat ideologues who work there. It really has been weaponized.
In your opinion, how big of a scandal is the Twitter files?
I think it's the tip of the iceberg, honestly. Ooh. Whatever it is, it's much bigger. Because, frankly, Twitter is very small compared to Facebook and Google.
Well, and Facebook is still doing all of those things. They're still censoring posts from mainstream media outlets admitting that they were wrong about COVID. They're censoring those.
And YouTube. YouTube took down the Project Veritas video.
Yeah, yeah.
That showed, you know, the Pfizer employee talking about all of the nefarious things and concerns that he had.
Oh, yeah. We're already creating the next one.
Right. So I think it's just the tip of the iceberg. I also think the chatter that shows up in whatever that online communications platform they used at Twitter was, that is that's the stuff that happens in the agencies that are supposed to be involved in civilian issues.
Right.
What you don't see in any of that is the chatter, the CIA chatter, or other three-letter agencies that are supposed to be focused outwardly.
Right.
But they have, let me tell you what, that is going on, and to a large degree, none of that's been made public. And it's they contend that they have a nexus for being inside of these domestic corporations because they're foreign actors who are trying to influence our elections.
Right.
And we, again, this is these are the pet snakes inside of the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, that's supposed to fund our military, who are supposed to, you know, be trained to kill people overseas, not to be taught wokeness, but they've forgotten that. But also inside of that NDAA is the funding, is the directives, are the directives for to these three-letter dark agencies to monitor our communications on Twitter and Facebook, et cetera.
Wow. Do you think, so when you say you think it's the tip of the iceberg, I mean, that's pretty terrifying because it sounds to me like, and I think the thing that terrifies me the most about all this, Congressman Massey, is that it seems like we find out, like we just had a revelation that, oh yeah, the government's like, oh yeah, we got UFOs. We don't know what they are. We have no idea. And everybody just kind of yawns, right? It's the same thing here. I mean, it's been revealed that a major three-letter government agency, which, by the way, actively suppressed the civil rights movement, actively got involved and meddled in the civil rights movement. We now find out they're doing it again, not necessarily with that same group, but also in some cases with Antifa, and in some cases with January 6th, and in some cases with the Gretchen Whitmer plot. And they're entrapping people. They're creating their own plots and entrapping people in them. They're involved in big tech. I mean, this is terrifying stuff. And the American people are just like, hey, when's the next episode of Kardashian coming on? It scares the crap out of me.
Let me tell you something that's going to sound incongruous, but it's true.
Massey always with the words.
This, what is going on is legal, but it's unconstitutional. Now, that shouldn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
Unfortunately, that's the regime that we're inside of. Look, for the most part, the FBI and the other three-letter agencies that are doing all this crap, they've got lawyers. They're lawyered up. They're either operating under secret executive orders, or they're operating under some broad directive that was given to them from Congress. And so they can say it's legal. The problem is it's not constitutional. So the net of that is it's not legal, but none of them are likely none of them are going to go to jail for it, because they've, I mean, with the exception of some really vigilante type people like the lowest learners and the who herself, you know, never suffered any consequences.
Right.
Or Bruce and Nellie Orr or Peter Strzok. Those people, they were off the reservation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But still, even for them, nothing corrective has happened.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Let's talk about the ATF. That's one alphabet agency I want to zoom in on. And I know you and I share a passion for the Second Amendment. It was kind of funny. I got an email from, it was a mass email from the ATF the other day. And they were like, hey, come join us at this media academy. And I'm like, why are you putting on a media? What are you doing? Are you trying to re-educate me so I don't criticize you? I'm like, I'm not going to that. I'm not going to that. What are you talking about? But this whole thing with, like, it started with bump stocks under Trump. And a lot of Republicans don't realize that. And it sort of set the precedent for the ATF to just do whatever the hell they want and call it law and charge people with felonies even when a law doesn't exist. And now that's what they've done with, you know, so-called pistol braces and short-barreled ARs and stuff like that, right? I mean, I've run into a lot of gun owners that ask me, what does this even mean? I don't even know what I'm supposed to do if I'm supposed to do anything at all. So define what they've done, what that means if you own one of these weapons, and then what is one of these weapons, and then do they even have the right to do it?
It's worse than them not having the right to make an outlaw of 20 to 40 million people, because that's probably about how many of these pistol braces exist that they have now deemed are equivalent to machine guns, and that you'll go to jail if you possess one on a AR-15 with a barrel less than 16 inches. It's an AR-15 type receiver. It's worse than saying that they just made up a law to make criminals out of people. And here's why it's worse, because for years, for a decade, they've been telling people it's legal. They sent letters signed by the ATF, sort of technical opinions, saying, we think this is legal. You can go ahead and sell these, buy these, make these. And then they reversed themselves and they created this felony situation.
How do they create a felony where there's no law against it?
Because they're saying that these are now short barrel rifles. If you have one of these on it, even though they said they weren't short barrel rifles before. So there's a felony if you possess a short barrel rifle that's not registered. By the way, what is your remedy if you own one of these things? Well, in many states,
STF?
No.
STFU? I don't know.
in remedy, because they're saying, well, just register it as a short barrel rifle. We'll give you a little amnesty here. You can come in and register it. The problem is, quote, short barrel rifles are illegal in some states.
Right, right.
Or, you know, destroy it. It's a taking. It is a taking against the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution. We are going to have a hearing on this in my Judiciary Committee. And Republicans, if we have the spine, we could defund this rule in the next appropriations bill, which is going to be due on October 1st.
But defunding it doesn't make it go away. So then you still have 20 to 40 million technical felons.
Well,
waiting for the next administration to come along and decide to fund it.
It suspends it for the length of the appropriation, which would be 1 year. And then hopefully we can get the Senate and a Republican president and turn and overturn this thing.
Right.
But that's either the courts, either this will be settled in the courts, or we can, which I don't have a whole lot of hope for that, or we can defund it. And those are our only real options. I mean, Chuck Schumer's not going to introduce a bill in the Senate, and President Biden's not going to sign a bill that would countermand his own agency.
No, that's wild, man. So if you have, say, a 10.5 or so inch barrel AR that you bought like that from the factory, that is a violation weapon, right? Because if it has a collapsible stock, it doesn't have to fold, it could just collapse. But almost all ARs have an adjustable stock. that's automatically a law violation, even if you bought it legally.
If you bought it, if you buy it with a stock that's meant to be shouldered,
right,
meant to, okay, to be placed against the shoulder and fired, you know, with your cheek,
okay,
welded to the gun as if it were a rifle, and it has a barrel that's less than 16 inches. Yes, that has to, if you did not register it as a short barrel rifle, it'd be illegal. But what the ATF said is that even though these pistol braces, which look like a collapsible stock, they are not a collapsible stock as long as you don't shoulder that pistol brace. This is what they said before they changed the quote law.
Okay.
By the way, we left out a committee that I'm on because it's a subcommittee when we started your podcast.
Okay.
I'm actually the chairman of a subcommittee in judiciary.
Okay.
It's called the Subcommittee on Administrative Law, Regulatory Reform, and Antitrust.
Okay.
And we have some jurisdiction over this because the rulemaking process, that's administrative law. When Jim Jordan said, hey, would you mind to chair this subcommittee? And I said, well, what's within its jurisdiction? And when he said administrative law, I'm like, wait, you're giving me 95% of the government. Because most of the laws,
I'll take it. I'm setting it free.
All right, throw me in that briar patch. But don't be upset when I start holding hearings on administrative law.
Right, right.
And monopolies.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
So we're gonna have. I can't say what they are right now. But
I can't wait.
We're going to have some good hearings.
I love that you're such a troublemaker. Congressman Massey, let's talk about Wuhan for a couple minutes. This has been something you followed very closely. You've had the theory that it came out of the lab for a long time. You and I have talked about what we're finding now about the vaccine. There was a Department of Defense official the other day that said he, quote, rejected the findings of this highly reputable study that came out this week and said, yeah, natural immunity is as good or better as anything offered by the vaccine. It's wild. We're starting to see that we were right all along. And now there's a lot of people out there saying, well, we just need to unify and go forward. And I'm not of that mindset because I remember what they did. And I remember all the names of the people who did this to us. And I know they knew at the time that they were wrong to do it. And so I can't forgive without some effort at restitution, which means consequences for Fauci. It means consequences for these liars and administrators who oversaw the shutdowns of our schools, small businesses, and allowed big woke corporations to stay open so that they could be virus super spreader places, because people had no place else to go and shop for their needs. I'm not in the mindset, as you can tell, Congressman Massey, to be very forgiving.
Yeah. Well, let's start with the first thing you said, which is this came out of the lab. This is not, to me, it's not a revelation. It's an admission that's 3 years too late.
Right. Yeah.
Is what it is.
Right.
And I have gone beyond that, and I think I've said this on your show, perhaps, but I said from the onset that the U.S. government was complicit in the creation of this virus.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Look, when it came out that this came from Wuhan and there was a virus lab there, it turns out we were funding gain of function. And President Trump found out through his chief of staff, Mark Meadows, and they pulled the funding. But this was going on. I think it started back up under Obama. It had been sort of outlawed, but started back up.
Yeah, he outlawed it, but I think the Fauci found a way around it under late in Obama's administration.
So we funded this. We had exchange of information. We may have given them the humanized mice that allowed them to do this. So why this is, you know, if it were just China that had created this virus, why would our government bend over backwards to say that they didn't, that it wasn't from the lab?
Right.
It's because our government is complicit.
Correct.
And a government that is big enough to create a virus that gets unleashed on its citizens and you know, kills a lot of people, that's a government that's too big.
Yeah, right.
And so you can't just say, oh, shucks, we didn't know this would happen. You need to come to terms with the fact that if a government is big enough, first of all, to create this virus, and they're so big that Congress doesn't even know they're creating viruses, the oversight function has failed, the administration under which they're working doesn't know this is happening, then we've got to resolve that. We've got to cut funding to all of these things.
Yeah.
I'll go, this is something I haven't really said on social media or on a show yet, but this needs to be said. The next thing that needs to be said, and you may disagree with me, is that we've been tinkering with the genetics of our food. And this is the genetically modified organisms. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about selective breeding, which has gone on for tens of thousands of years.
Yeah, different types of tomatoes and things like
that. Yeah, I've got 12 varieties of peach trees growing on my farm.
Right.
And a bunch of different chickens and a bunch of different ducks. And you can selectively breed and get that. But when you take shortcuts and you go in and start splicing genes in, and then you introduce things like terminator genes to make sure that the plant can't breed, so that nobody, you know, everybody has to come back and buy the seed from you.
Right.
And when you introduce genes that can then crossbreed with native plants or, you know, public domain plants, you are creating genetic pollution in our food supply. This is my personal opinion. And you are playing God, you're playing fire, and this could, the whole GMO thing could come back and haunt us, just like the genetically modified viruses.
I don't disagree with you, Congressman Massey. I've been studying food and healthy food for some time. I've had a personal journey in this area. I think it's both saved and enhanced my life by taking a deeper look at the food that I eat. I know a lot of people think that's silly. But I think there's a lot to it. I just saw an article the other day that young people are getting colorectal cancer and doctors can't figure out why. And I'm like, well, I don't know. Maybe it's because we're eating cancer causing pesticides on everything that we get at the grocery store. And it's practically built into everything. That's not even, you think, oh, well, I fall as long, the pesticides only on the tomatoes. No, it's built into everything in a box, in a plastic container that we eat in the store. Right. And a lot of people poo-poo organics, but I'm like, the thing about organics is it doesn't have that. It doesn't have Roundup on it. That's why it's organic. You're not eating those chemicals. So I know that's not exactly genetic modification, but I think all those things are tied together. And if the government will let us do all that stuff, then they're not going to think twice about modifying or creating a virus just to see what would happen. And if, you know, in order to protect us against it under the auspices of where they're going to protect us against it if it accidentally gets out, which it did.
Right.
So, I mean,
yeah, I think it's actually, yeah, I'm not sure about what the organic rules are. The best thing is to know your farmer.
Yeah.
I mean, I do know some of the organic rules, and I know some of it's a little sham.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because
I'm not saying organic's the end all be all. I'm just saying, know where your food comes from is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Yeah.
Know thy farmer. Go check out their farm if you can. I mean, I know you can't.
But to your point, you fought this battle about raw milk for a long time. And I think you posted something on Twitter about that the other day. It's like they're getting ready to build here in Colorado. They're getting ready to build places where people can shoot up for free. Right. It's like you can shoot up for free. But damn it, don't touch the raw milk. Right. It's just like, what are you talking about, man? Just let us eat what we want to eat.
By the way, I had a tall, cold glass of raw milk about 20 minutes before I came on your show. So if I fall over dead on your show, you're going to know.
That's why. Got that poison, man. You know, I mean, it's an Amish plot to poison all of America. That's what it is. It's sell us raw milk and raw cheese and we all die. That's it. Oh, my God.
By the way, one other thing.
Yeah.
While we're talking about gain of function and lab created stuff. If you remember in the Project Veritas video, the Pfizer, a pretty high up Pfizer guy that does research said that we're creating new versions of the virus.
Yes.
So we can test, you know, our drugs on it. And within later that week, By the way, at first I thought that video was like a deep fake. I thought, oh,
I did too. I didn't trust it at first.
I didn't trust it for a while. I did not retweet it for 2 days. I'm like, and I did a lot of independent research on that guy. And then I eventually realized this is real. So, but what really cemented it is Friday, a week later, on a Friday at 8 p.m., Pfizer put out a statement. Mm-hmm. They stuck it on their webpage, and almost nobody read it because it was like Friday at 8 p.m., I think. I don't know, before the Super Bowl or something was going on that weekend. I don't know what it was, maybe. And they said, yeah, we're creating new versions of this virus so that we can test our new drugs against it. And it was like, it was an admission, but it was made to look like a denial.
Yes.
But if you know how those are, right? Mm-hmm. An admission denial.
Yeah.
You read it, you're like, wait, they're admitting they're doing everything that was in that video.
Yeah. I saw that statement. You tweeted it.
Yeah.
And I read it, and I was like, holy crap.
People are like, oh, Congressman Massey's misleading people.
Right.
No, I put the exact screenshot of the Pfizer thing and the link to it.
Right.
If you thought I didn't put enough context, click on the link and go read it.
Right.
They're doing the equivalent of gain of function. I mean, they don't call it that. They're not, but they're trying to create versions,
yeah,
that their drugs don't work against. And you know, that may be where we got some of these weird variants, like Omicron that popped up.
Yeah,
like first showed up in like South Africa or something, and it looked like it was the 20th cousin, 30 times removed from the, you know, the circulating strain, and people are like, whoa, it would take years for this
to happen,
variant to evolve.
Yeah, that's wild. I think that Project Veritas video was only scratching the surface. I think it broke in more than they wanted it to, mm-hmm, but I also think it caused quite a bit of panic, and we got even more people got even more tight-lipped after that, and it's just like,
they took out James O'Keefe too.
Yeah.
Like shortly thereafter, with a bunch of trumped up bullcrap.
Right.
About like, oh, he's paying too much for those. And oh, he flew down and to work on his boat, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably takes donors out on that boat.
Right. Right.
The proof's in the pudding. If the guy's doing a good job.
Yeah.
It's not a government organization. It's a private organization. If he's doing a good job. And he has been doing the best job,
yeah,
of anybody of capturing these videos.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. People still fall for it. Like it, and
yeah,
the other thing that made me know that was true was when they got the video, when they released the video of him actually confronting the guy at a restaurant after it had come out. And I was like, the way that dude reacted,
yeah,
I was like, holy crap, that is somebody caught in a situation they do not feel comfortable being caught in because it's true. And that said a lot.
He was trying to, I guess,
I was lying for a date.
Yeah. I was trying to think of the least crude way to say why he said he was doing it.
Yeah.
And when's the last time a date was turned on,
right,
by admissions of,
yeah, I'm manipulating genes to make you sicker. Oh, let's go jump under the covers. Not happening.
Right.
Yeah. Congressman, I know you got to run. Did we miss anything? We got quite a bit covered today.
Oh gosh. We have missed so much. We have missed him. And, just really quick, cause
okay,
this is on my,
yeah,
brain. I woke up thinking about it. I had a debate with a Democrat in the elevator yesterday in Congress.
Oh boy.
He got so mad cause I'm wearing a debt clock on my lapel.
Uh-huh.
Like I built a debt clock battery powered.
Uh-huh.
And he was looking at it. He got so mad, and we started talking about this and that and the other thing. I said, but we're monetizing the debt. And he said, no, we aren't. If the Treasury printed the money, we'd be monetizing the debt. I said, but the Fed is printing the money and the Treasury's borrowing it from them. Like, how is that not monetizing the debt just because you got two separate organizations?
Right.
$5 trillion, Leland. Just people are looking for every excuse. You know, the pipeline got hacked, or Ukraine happened, or this or that happened. It's really simple, folks. The reason you've got massive inflation that's not going away is the Federal Reserve created $5 trillion out of thin air, and now they're the arsonists who are putting out the fire,
right?
Because to control inflation, they've raised interest rates so that now everybody's having a hard time getting a mortgage.
This is a great point, and I think you hit the nail on the head when you said it's not going away. It may ease a little, you know. It's maybe not going away, and
the only way for them to decrease it right now is to cause like a minor recession.
Right, and
to knock demand so hard in the head. To knock investments, you know, investing in new buildings and new equipment so hard in the head by changing interest rates that I think we're probably headed for a stagflation type situation.
Yeah, that's terrifying. And people should be prepared for it because this isn't sustainable. What they're doing is not sustainable. And it's like they're not even paying any attention to it. They swat at you like you're a gadfly talking about this issue like they did Ron Paul. You know,
man, go back and look at some of my votes. I was voting against, you know, antagonizing Russia and Ukraine in 2015 and 2017. Right. And I voted against. Oh, this is one other thing I want to tell you. So I voted against the Ukraine involvement 17 times last year.
Wow.
And eventually on like the 17th vote, 54 Republicans joined me. When I started out, I was the only one or one of two. Then what the Democrats did is say, oh, this looks bad. We have 54 defectors. Let's roll in all the Ukraine funding into a CR that has disaster relief for Florida.
Oh, jeez.
And then they rolled the next Ukraine funding into the omnibus so that if you wanted to keep our government open, you had to fund the Ukraine government. And by the way, right now, because we have reached the debt limit, Joe Biden's treasury is selling the investments that the postal workers retirement fund has. He's selling the investments into all the federal employee retirements and funding the pensions of Ukrainians with that money. That's because we're in a situation of extraordinary measures, is what they call it. I would call that extraordinary, selling our own government pensions to fund Ukrainian government pensions. But the one thing I want to end on is to say, man, that any further money that goes to Ukraine gets a separate and distinct vote.
Good.
And by forcing that in the House, we'll be able to force that in the Senate, too.
Good, good.
Because their bills have to match our bills to become law.
Right.
So we may not be able to stop this nonsense, but we'll be able. And maybe some of your listeners think we should send money and weapons to Ukraine, whatever. Okay. But don't you want to know who's for that and who's against it?
Yeah.
And then you can decide who to vote for.
Real quick. What is the reason why? Is it because of Biden and Hunter's corruption that we're beholden to Ukraine and headed towards World War III? What is the reason why?
That's a Biden's motivation, but I think there's a deeper motivation that comes from the deep state, the Lieutenant Colonel Vindemans, the people at the State Department who have been working for years. Wrapping Biden and his family into this probably was just a way to get them to come along.
Right.
With the architecting of this war that's been going on. I mean, we architected the overthrow of the pro-Russian government in Ukraine in 2014. When I say we, not me, but the U.S. government.
Right.
Biden is just sort of a patsy in all this. He's making a lot of, you know, dough on it. But it's deeper than that. And also, military-industrial complex, they were getting a steady diet of $50 billion a year in Afghanistan. So as soon as Afghanistan ended, something else had to start up to keep the Raytheons and the Lockheed Martins, flush with cash, and the generals, the retired generals who work there,
okay,
or still generals and getting some money on the side. All that had to keep going.
Yeah.
And that's why Ukraine's happening.
Wouldn't that be ironic if the liberals who cheered the deep state going after Trump illegally found out that they got duped into supporting a war because the deep state entangled their current president? in such a way that he had to support it, and they all were like, "I support the current thing," and they were like,
"The current thing."
I mean, oh my God, wow!
I've got a shirt that says, "I'm against the next war already."
I'm already against it. Yeah, in my bio on Twitter, it says, "Probably against the current thing." So right. Listen, I'll be sitting in for Joe Pags week after next, so I know we missed some things we wanted to talk about. So if you want to pop back on with us then. We can do that again, because there are, gosh, I always feel like there's so much ground we don't even get to cover, but good stuff today, and it's always good to talk to you, my friend. I'm glad you're in there, and thank you for continuing to fight for freedom.
Likewise, great to catch up with you, Leland. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, have a good one.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.